We're coming to the Lord's table in a few moments. I don't want to weary you at the end of a tiring year, but I do want to help us reflect just a little bit further on this extraordinary Christmas message. Paul is talking to people who are finding the Christian life hard. He's talking, of course, to Timothy. He's really talking through Timothy at many who will read his letter, which brings us right up to our day, our church, and tonight. It's been a tiring, exhausting year for many. That's been really the reflected and the repeated theme through our testimonies this evening, hasn't it? And we reflected together that the Christian life is not easy. And when the Christian life is hard, well, wonderfully, some of us have said we cling to the Lord Jesus with new sense of need and worship and trust. Some of us just do the opposite. We want to let go, we want to drift. And the Apostle Paul was having a really hard time here. And Timothy was feeling the difficulty of living the Christian life. But Paul is saying, don't drift. And don't narrow your heart. Don't narrow your heart to God. And don't narrow your heart to other people. Even to a world which is persecuting the church, the servants of the Lord Jesus. Don't give up. Pray. Pray for the very people who are giving you a hard time. And in the first century world, that means, verse 1, intercession for kings and rulers, those in authority. Why? Because Paul wants a context not of turmoil, but of peace in which a good news message can be shared. And that pleases God. And look at God's heart in verse 4. He wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's no one, rich or poor, whatever age, background, stage, story, ethnicity, there's nobody that the Father's heart does not long for and through whom his love is not expressed through Jesus. And then here's the verse, here's a great verse, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's just camp in that for just a couple of moments. There is one God. We're not in Japan with that conviction that the gods number hundreds of thousands, even millions. And this God Jesus, if he is God, some Japanese are happy to pop a little picture of him, a figurine of him on their shelf to join all the other gods. Paul is saying daringly, and in the first century world, very controversially, there's one God. And are there many ways to God, Paul? No. There's only one way, because there is only one mediator between God and men. There is one mediator. We need a mediator. And at Christmas, the message comes, he has come. We need as our mediator, well, who's going to pay so big a payment for our sin? No man, however perfect, can pay that. God must come and bring about that satisfaction. But there must be a man who can represent man and, as it were, bring the sacrifice on man's behalf. And so this mediator must be the God Man, and that is who, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the God-man. He's not a bit of God, God diluted, and a bit of man, man supercharged. He's fully man, and he's fully God. So why, if you're alert, does Paul only say the man, Christ Jesus? Has Paul forgotten Christ's divinity? No, I think Paul is saying the man Christ Jesus because he wants to underline something which the first century world was very uncomfortable about, which even the church was uncomfortable about, that the God of heaven took on humanity and fully dwelt in humanity, in the nature of a man. The first century world, even the first century church, was tempted to want a God who kind of hovered around Jesus, hovered around the indignity and the degradation of a human nature and body. Paul says, no, no, God wasn't hovering. He wasn't there or thereabouts. He was in. He was there. He was possessing the full nature of humanity. And this, of course, is the scandal of Christmas. This is the God we're given, the God we're called to receive, the God-man, the babe in the manger, Christ Jesus. I wonder, too, if Paul is seeking to encourage us that as we go to God, as we've been hearing this evening with our sorrows and our tears and the problems of our lives and our loved ones, we're going, as it were, in heaven to a man. We're going to meet there with a man who is our mediator, who has come from God to pay our debt, to bring us to God. And there he stands in heaven, fully understanding our weakness, our compromise, our problems, and still as mediator, bearing our needs before the Father. And his work of being our mediator, as he achieved it on earth at the cross, in a sense, it is the piece by piece reversal of the drama of Christmas. Have you thought of that? Jesus' movement towards the cross is the piece by piece reversal of Christmas. Remember how in Jesus' infancy he snatched away from the murderous plan of Herod. Just over 30 years later, one of Herod's descendants embraces Jesus with Pilate, and they bring Jesus into their murderous plan. Remember the ordinary people, the shepherds, who ran to greet and to worship Jesus. Remember those ordinary people, those 30 years later, who would have nothing to do with him, whose worship was changed to scorn and mockery. The honouring of Jesus at his birth as king, Pilate's mocking words, "Behold your king." And those around Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." At Christmas, Jesus left the darkness of the womb and he entered the light of life. In his work as mediator, he enters the darkness of death and the darkness of the tomb. And those angels who gave announcement to the shepherds and Mary and Joseph of the exciting birth of the mediator, Resurrection Day, the angel announces to the terrified men and women that it has been completed. The mediator has done and finished his work. He lives that we may have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So no Christmas, the mediation's off. No mediator, no reconciliation with God, no reconciliation, no salvation. No salvation, no heaven, no heaven, no hope. Let's cancel Christmas. Or just eat and drink ourselves to death. But because there is one God and one man and one mediator given to man, we have hope, heaven, salvation, reconciliation with God. It's all there given to us. It starts at Christmas. We trace the journey of our Saviour through his earthly life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension. We look to him now, glorified in heaven. He's the only mediator we need. He's all the joy we want to taste. Loving Lord, we thank you for the daring, true drama of Christmas. The gift of your Son. The beginning of his triumphant work on earth, as he came to complete all the work his Father gave him to do. As we share bread and wine, as we've shared tears and joy and memories, may our bread and wine celebration be just that, the coming of thankful lives and hearts to so great a Saviour, in whom is our mediation and our peace and our confident hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.